Well, hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Leadership Lessons Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Williams, and excited to be getting to good content with you once again this episode. We're talking about cross-cultural missions. That's right, my friends. It's not just a buzzword. When people talk about cross-cultural missions, it's doing mission work, being sent by God to a different culture. You cross cultures. It could be from one state to another state, one country to another country, but the whole idea is, as God sends us out to reach the nations, there are different people groups and cultures that you must cross to be able to communicate and spread the gospel. I know it's technical, but it's so important because we have to understand that the way that cultures are, certain behaviors and what to do and not to do, is totally normal for most people. It's like a fish swimming in water. However, we need to make sure that we understand, as we get sent to a different culture, their assumptions, their behaviors are not like us. And our job is not to bash the culture, not even to change the culture, is to preach the gospel to that culture so they understand clearly who Jesus is and his good news. And so I'm excited today to do some training. You know, this podcast is all about equipping and encouraging. And I feel like this podcast will give us some insight into some training as we have some great speakers. This episode, we have Jeremy Barahona. We have a missionary from Brazil, a missionary from Berlin. Belgium. We're trying to give you, at least I try to give you, different perspectives of even leaders around the globe so we can get cross-cultural information from other brothers and sisters that are doing great things from the Lord and have a different perspective than maybe we, even as the Western American church, may have. And so our first leadership lesson and guest speaker is going to be Jeremy Barahona. Now, Jeremy Barahona is a church planner, missionary from planting a church here in South Florida. He moved from Chicago after marrying his wife, Angelica, came back to the homeland, the beloved South Florida, where I'm at, and is planting in downtown West Palm Beach in a certain quarter called the Latin Quarter. This guy literally speaks one line of English and then translate it to Spanish because it is a community full of Hispanic people and people of a certain language. And so he's knocking, pounding on the streets, doing a whole bunch of things, knocking on doors, preaching the gospel, and trying to contextualize the gospel to the people that God has called him to. And so I've done an interview. He's done the past. It's on my Patreon page, the full hour interview. I've also shared snippets on episodes of this season, but I wanted him to share a leadership lesson specifically on this topic of cross-cultural missions or contextualization. And he's going to share five principles before you plant or do outreach of what you should be looking for to get to know the people, to walk the streets, to understand the history, to really try to understand culture so you could best preach the gospel to them. There's a word going around in our evangelical world, missionalist. Ed Stetzer is a missionalist. It's one that is a professor or one that's professional in exegeting the culture and trying to give them the gospel. And I think whether you have that title or not, we are all on mission because our God is a missional God. The Father loved us so much, he sent his Son to a different culture from heaven to earth to dwell with us and to seek and save the lost. And contextually, when we see Jesus now, we see the Father. And Jesus said, just as I am the light of the world, now I send you and you are the light of the world. And so we can know these buzzwords of cross-cultural missions or missionalist or however you want to say it or whatever is the popular word of the time. But these are just biblical truths to preach the gospel into all the nations, every creature. And so it's important for us to be, as church leaders, trained on what does that look like? If I'm planting a church in a different culture, or maybe I'm not from there, or a different country or city, what does that mean? What are the idols of the land? Where can I have open doors of opportunity to share the gospel? And I think part of missions training is just understanding culture and how to translate that and then best communicate the gospel, because that's what we want. The gospel has the power to save. And like last episode, episode 12, we talked about caring for souls. It's the best way we can care for souls, to speak truth in love. And we want to do this in a loving, grand way to be able to reach people for Jesus. And so in this episode, we're talking cross-cultural missionaries. I got Jeremy Barahona, a church planner. I got Kaka, who's a church planner and a missionary in Brazil. I also have Gretchen from Belgium, and we are going to just explore this topic together. I hope it's encouraging. I hope it blesses you, and I hope from this these practitioners, you can get a lot of great wisdom and insight on how to reach people for Jesus, no matter what culture or cultural context that you are in. So here's Jeremy's leadership lesson.
Yo, what's up? This is Jeremy Barahona with the Leadership Lessons podcast with the big homie, the immaculate Daniel Williams, your church planter, favorite church planter's favorite church planter. Man, really grateful to be on this podcast today and be able to do a leadership lesson based on what God has done in my life and the way that God has wired me and where God has called me to. I'm a church planter in West Palm Beach, Florida, on the south end of the city in this area called the Latin Quarter. It's a Latino community. My wife and I, we moved 2 years ago from Chicago to plant this church. We actually parachuted in. I knew about this community because I actually grew up in South Florida, and I always knew that that neighborhood was the Latino hub, and we really felt called to reach our own people. And when I thought about what location really captured that calling, I thought about the Latin Quarter. And after years of praying, discerning, talking to different leaders, it was clear that God called us there. And as I was thinking about the leadership lesson, one of the things that I thought about is what are the different themes that have been consistent in my life in God's sovereignty? And one of those themes is contextualization. And today I want to talk to you about five principles before planting or doing outreach. And really, this is just going to be some principles centered around contextualization. So I just want to jump right into it. Principle number one, first and foremost, understand what contextualization is. I'm going to define it for you. Contextualization is the application of the gospel and the Bible to a specific social location and situation. That's what contextualization is. And when I think about that term and what it means, I think about Jesus. Jesus modeled contextualization when he entered the world. In John chapter 1, verse 14, John says this, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling," or tabernacled, "among us." I love that because it's a picture of contextualization. First and foremost, it tells us that Jesus became flesh. He became a human. Jesus being God, he wrapped himself in skin. He lived among people. And he actually, the Greek actually says he tabernacled. He tabernacled among us. He came from heaven and earth. And he dwelt, and that can't be understood unless you rightly understand the Jewish context around the tabernacle, dwelling with God's people in the wilderness. That's a picture of contextualization. Furthermore, Jesus was a Jewish Messiah. In this book called Evangelical Convictions that I read, it says this. It says, Jesus's life and ministry cannot be understood rightly apart from the Old Testament story, and particularly the promises of God to his people, Israel. So we serve a Jewish Messiah. So modeling our ministry practice after Jesus means that we should understand the meaning of God's word first, that we should understand God's word rightly. This also takes understanding the context you're trying to reach so that you can apply the Bible, so that you could apply the gospel in a way that makes sense to the people you're trying to reach. What I love about contextualization is that contextualization demonstrates the relevancy of the gospel and the Bible. See, it's not that the gospel or the Bible is not relevant. It's a matter of whether or not our communities know how the Bible and the gospel is relevant. And this is why it's important that we know what contextualization is and that we do that hard work when we're doing the outreach, when we're looking to plant the church. So that's our first principle. The second principle I like to give you before planting or doing an outreach is that it's important to define who you're called to reach in the community. You have to know who your target audience is. And the way that you do this is by praying and discerning who God has called you to reach. It's a matter of where God has placed you, maybe, or maybe a specific passion that you have for a particular kind of people. And when I think about this concept of who you're called to reach, I think about in the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, it's clear that Peter was primarily called to be an apostle or sent one to the Jewish people. And Paul was primarily called to be an apostle to the Gentile world. They had a specific calling to particular kinds of people in God's mission. Different aspects, different assignments, same mission. And you, if you're listening to this and you feel called to do an outreach or you're looking to plant the church, God is calling you to reach a particular kind of people. You need to pray. You need to discern who that is. My father told me this one time. He said, Jeremy, if you're not shooting a target, you're shooting at anything. And at best, this could be super frustrating. And at worst, this could actually be very, very detrimental, right? Many of the reasons why we don't see the fruit of the work of contextualization is because we actually don't have a focus. We don't have a target for who God has called us to reach. The third principle is that you need to understand the history of your target group or your community. Understand that what came before you affects the present and the future of the people group you're seeking to reach or the place in which you find yourself. Yeah, history contains even a sort of spirituality that can be used for gospel proclamation. And when I thought about this, I thought about Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, before he's martyred, Stephen, he walks his listeners through Jewish history and points them to how that history points to Jesus Christ. And what I love about that chapter is that first and foremost, he knew Jewish history. He knew what was up. He knew the promises of God. He knew who the forefathers were, the patriarchs, right? He knew their spiritual history. And then what I love about that chapter is that he made theological applications to that history, particularly as it pertained to Jesus. And then lastly, he challenged them in light of what he said about Jesus. He challenged them. In the same way, it's important for us to know the history of the people we're trying to reach and the communities in which we're trying to reach and the social locations in which we find ourselves. For instance, when I think about my community is a largely immigrant community, largely immigrants from Cuba and Guatemala or Central America, other countries in Central America. It's important for me to know when I'm looking through the history to know why historically these people groups from these countries have come to my community. That tells me a lot about who the Lord has called me to reach. It tells me a lot about their spirituality and how they're navigating their spirituality in this present moment and how they might even interact with Jesus going forward. So you got to know your people group or your community's history. The fourth principle is walk the community and make observations. These missiologists by the name of Bill Crispin and Kaz Crosscombe, they talk about the fact that most people in social locations, they have psychological boundaries in their minds, right? It's kind of like that old train track concept, right? I won't pass the train tracks here. And it's important for us as we walk to notice that And to even ask ourselves, why is that? Why don't certain people go to certain places, even in my community? Or as I'm walking, why do I notice a lot of people riding their bikes around 5 o'clock? Why is it that at 12 o'clock there are no cars? Or maybe you live in a certain place where there's a lot of people who work from home. Maybe you can notice that by seeing a lot of cars in that social location, right? This is why it might be a good idea to walk and make observations about that. Principle number 5, and this is the last principle, as you contextualize, get to know the people and your neighbors. So many times, trust me, I get it. We enter into a community, especially if you're parachuting, and you just want to give people the gospel right away. And I believe that the Holy Spirit does prompt us to do that sometimes. But other times, sometimes we just need to be students of the culture in which we find ourselves. I want to encourage you, enter into people's world. Matter of fact, why don't you even see if you're even welcome in those places? And if you're not, why not? Why not discover and maybe even investigate what it would look like to be welcome in those places? When I think about this, I think about Matthew chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. Jesus, he commissions his disciples and he tells them this. He says, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give the home your greeting. It's that picture of being welcomed into somebody's home, right? So enter into people's worlds, get to know them. And I think this is really important as we do this. Listen to people. Listen to understand before talking. And as you talk, only talk to serve. So these are the 5 principles that I want to encourage you to practice as you are doing the work of contextualization, as you're seeking to plant the church or do a ministry outreach.
Well, I think it's so important to be able to learn the culture that you're serving, the people group and their idols and their ups and their downs and their hopes and their dreams, and to be able to give biblical counsel and give them God's word and the gospel in that cultural context. This is a very important thing, not just when you're planning a church, but especially when you go to a different culture or a different language. You have to speak the language, right? And so whether it be something that's very familiar to you or you think about a lot, this episode is trying to teach us and understand this aspect of missions where we need to learn culture to be able to share the gospel. It's right now a big thing as well, and important for us as especially older leaders, because we not only need to cross cultures, we need to cross generations, right? As we know that the gospel is going forth through means like video, like this podcast, or social media, there's a cross-generational thing that needs to happen where we pass the baton, and we just need to understand where people groups are at. And so what are they valuing? What idols do we have to tear down, and strongholds and those type of things? And so I was in California for the Calvary Global International Conference. The movement I'm a part of is a global network of church leaders, and I sat down with one church planner and missionary, Kaká or Ricardo, from Brazil. Again, I've had a great opportunity to be able, through the Calvary Global Network, to actually have connect groups, online groups, cohorts through a lot of church planters, missionaries around the world. And so Kaká is one of those guys where we actually did a cohort for a year and never met in person until I went to California, met him, talked, and had an incredible conversation with him, about 45 minutes, about cross-cultural missions. I'm going to share 2 videos on this episode of wisdom that he shares, but you can get the full episode of me talking cross-cultural missions. He's married to his wife from Switzerland. They've gone traveled all over the world. He has so much wisdom and experience. It's so incredible. I put that full interview on the Patreon page, and I'll probably be releasing more clips as episodes go, but I wanted to at least have his perspective, because he's full of wisdom, a practitioner, on just the importance of learning the culture. And I asked him, how important is it learning the culture before you preach the gospel, make disciples? Like, what does that even look like, and how do you do it? And so just wanted to give you this snippet. You can get the full interview on our Patreon page. It's a monthly membership where you can actually go and get all these interviews all at one time. As soon as you subscribe from day one, there's over 100 resources of behind the scenes bonus content, from book quotes to interviews to extra content, all there. And that's just a thank you, to say thank you for supporting this ministry, EE Leaders, to get this type of content out to church leaders around the globe. And so here is Kaká Ricardo giving us that wisdom on just learning the culture as you serve the Lord and preach the gospel. What are some things that are key to your heart that you're like, no matter what culture I go to, I'm going to do that?
Yeah, I think it's starting by like being like really having a humble heart.
Hmm.
And realize that you don't know everything.
Yeah.
So you got like, for example, I was very blessed by one guy, a local guy, you know, that helped me a lot. So even though I knew what I want like to do and to teach, but he would be the one who always like would come to me and say, hey, here we do like this.
Mm.
You know, here we do like this. So when you think about biblical principles, like we can say that like Christians are different in every part of the world. So we have Jesus. And then most of what we do, like in the Western countries, we do the same on the other side. But we gotta just look at him and realize that what is really like a Christian like culture and what is out of the Christian culture. So it's kind of hard to tell like one or two things that, you know, but what I can tell that Christians are way more graceful than any other people around. So like there is room for mistakes when you have a humble heart. When you don't have a humble heart, you're gonna suffer.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be hard. But yeah, we had a humble heart. It's like you take it easy when we like mistake, for example.
Yeah.
You know, and then you learned. So being part of a local church make a whole difference. That's something I'm really like. I always say, I'll never get tired of saying that. Wherever you go, everywhere you go, look for a local church. It might be very different than back home, but it's going to be the place that is going to have this sense of community. There's going to be this sense of like people to teach you what you have to learn so you can be there and you can succeed and you can be blessed.
Well, I think that learning the culture is natural to me, because when I planted a church with my wife, we were from Washington State and we moved to Florida, which doesn't seem that big of a deal. I mean, it's still the United States, right? However, the culture was so different. It seemed like everyone was walking around with half the clothes on because it was sunny and hot compared to rainy and cold. People coming from the Northeast, a very spiritual place, with all of these, all of these cultures in like a melting pot, but yet very unchurched as well. It was just a different culture, whereas Washington was the most unchurched state for many years growing up with me, and then they were very antagonistic towards spiritual things. And so the vast difference of going and parachuting into a different culture, I immediately saw, wow, this is a super important thing. Even though I'm still in the same country, the culture is different. And so when I crossed into a different culture, I had to learn what was valuable, what was important to the people and the people I wanted to minister and to love. And I think that that's so important in our cultural context. Whether there were doing cross-generational ministry, cross-cultural ministry, we have to understand that people are not like us, and that's okay. We're not trying to convert other people to even a Christian culture, but the kingdom of God and knowing the gospel. And so we have to understand these things, learn these things, and declare these things. And what's really helped me is exposing myself to other men and women, doing mission work, doing church work from around the world. You hear their perspective. Sometimes we can get in the trap, especially in the comparison game with Instagram. We look at what one church is doing, maybe say in Nebraska, and maybe say in Montana, and we're like, this is amazing, let's do that. But it doesn't work for our context, because guess what? We're maybe in a more populated area like a New York City, New Jersey, or a South Florida context, and the vice versa. Our ministry style maybe not doesn't work for that. And we sometimes hold great value in what we do, the method, and not necessarily the message. Meaning we can come and take our approach and our method and elevate that into like, this worked right now for me, but yet it may not work in another season or in a different cultural context. And so we need to be aware of that. And one thing that's helped me in just learning this approach is relationships that I have with you all, this community. It's a global network. There's many people that I have been able to Zoom, coach, call, have fellowship, pray with, that are around the globe, and I hear what's happening, and it's so different, but yet God is at the center of it all. One also thing that I was just a part of is some training in Wales. I'm a part of a cohort where there's 15 of us, and I'm the only one right now in the States. The rest of them are doing mission work around the world. Some are in Germany and France and Belgium, and we were in Wales for a training about church planting movements and how to start one and lead one of those things, as we have many responsibilities and are training other people and just wanted to see the gospel go forth. And one person, Gretchen Schwartz, who's married to the professor and the lead person of this cohort, the school that I go to, Bill Schwartz, his wife just shared a one piece of advice, and it's golden. It's simply just don't quit. And I think that with cross-cultural missions, learning another language, learning another culture is super, super, super hard. Have I said it's hard? It's incredibly hard. However, I want to encourage you guys, listen, don't quit. Don't quit to the call that God's called you to. I have another meeting set up even with another missionary from a different part of Spain, where it's not even Spanish. He's learning a different language, and it's a very unique situation. Like, it is so important to not give up and to understand the work that God's called you to, and it's going to take some work. But expose yourself. It's hard sometimes to expose yourself to different cultures. That's what the world is having a problem with, right? That's what we're having a problem with, even in the political party. Just have a Democrat sit with the Republican and a Republican sit with the Democrat and just listen. And we need to be learning and loving and learning cultures and not attacking people and just saying, God, we want you to be the final authority. How do we do this? And so this is one of the reasons why I'm giving you missionaries, church planners, missionaries, and even the one piece of advice from Gretchen Schwartz, who's a missionary church planner in Belgium, to just encourage you, to bless you. And I want you to hear different voices, voices from men and from women, voices from senior pastors and lead pastors, church planners, but also from associate pastors, from worship directors, from youth pastors. We need one another to be able to listen, to learn, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And I just want to thank you for listening to this podcast, for sharing and letting people know. You know, when you do a 5-star review and on iTunes or wherever else, it lets other people know and lets us have a voice in their ear. And so I know this is a very intimate thing that I'm just speaking, or you're maybe watching this podcast, and it feels like we have a relationship, because we do. I pray for you, and it's awesome to be able to pour into you in this way and to introduce you to some of the friends and people and ministers that are blessing me. And I'm just so honored to be able to host these type of things to bless you. And so this is Gretchen's one piece of advice telling us not to give up.
Hi, my name is Gretchen Schwartz. My husband and I serve as missionaries in Belgium. And we also serve as the regional directors of Central and Eastern Europe, as well as Belgium. So if I was to give you one piece of advice, I would say, don't give up. I believe in ministry. As ministers, we all have many opportunities to be exhausted, to be frustrated with situations that we're in, the devil coming against us in many different ways, whether it be with people in the church or just a lot of circumstances that we walk through as ministers. And I think it's very easy at times to say, enough. I can't take anymore. And I just give up ministry. And I would encourage you to push forward, to keep going on, to persevere, and God will see you through it. He's not going to leave you. He's going to walk through every situation with you. He will get the victory. You will get the victory if you keep moving forward. That's my advice.
Well, I think that struggle is real, to actually give up. I continually say there's nothing better than doing what God's called you to do. But let's just be real. It is hard. This is why there are verses that say you do not labor in vain. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So we need to be encouraged by that. And I just want to encourage you all, if you're not a missionary and you have those on the field, those that are doing a great work, I want to encourage you to reach out to them. It is so lonely at times to be away from your family, a different culture, doing the work and thinking no one cares. I want to go back to Kaka, who I had a great interview. It's 45 minutes. I mean, who knows? It's worth your time to listen to that whole thing, whether you be a Patreon community member, or maybe one day I'll just release it as a whole episode, because it was just pure gold. But him and I were talking, and he just gives this last encouragement that I want to give to you, as far as just the importance of encouraging your missionaries by visiting every year, every 2 years, and what that does to their soul and encourages them. Listen, I know that I get encouraged when I hear from you guys, when you email me at daniel@eleaders.com, or I had someone email and just say, hey man, I'm going through this situation and that episode really encouraged me. I mean, that blesses me. I know I need that. How much more do all of these guys and girls that are on the field, away from family, away from a different culture, language, whatever it may be, they need support. And some of you guys may say, well, how do I do that? And that's why I wanted to play this second clip from Kaka from Brazil, a church planner, a missionary who's done all this different stuff, because he shares just practical wisdom of how we as the church can come alongside and support missionaries, those that are doing cross-cultural missions. I think it's super important and super encouraging. And so you'll be blessed by this wisdom he has to share. How were you encouraged by your sending church back in Brazil as you were out? What are the ways that they encouraged you, whether it be through finances, letters, prayer, for all of it, what did that look like, as far as maybe, because some of us are watching and we are pastors or are part of a local church, but we want to send love and support to missionaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're very blessed by our church in so many ways. Yeah, we were supported financially for sure. We had people praying for us all the time. That's another thing. We have even sometimes the kids ministry involved. Mm. So that we have our pictures and the newsletter, and the kids were praying for us. And they even raised money for from there, big banks, whatever,
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so we got encouraged by every once in a while. So we had one lady that she was responsible for all the communication with us. So every time that they want us something, they could pray for us or just encourage us, we'd just send some prayer requests. Whatever would happen out of the normal basis, we'd send a picture and say, hey, can you pray for us? We're dealing with this thing, So, and having the pastor being a friend of mine, that helped a lot too. So every time that things would get hard, we could call each other, open my heart out and just say that things have been hard and being encouraged, say, hey, keep it up, continue, man. We're praying for you. So I think the church, the role of the local church or the standing church is so important, because many people, I was very privileged, since the beginning of my journey when it comes to missions, because, both of the churches I was part of, they were very, committed to us. Mm. So they were not only sending people to far away and just hey, you figured it out. They were constantly having people calling us. Some of them had visited us.
Yeah.
And now that's what I want to do as a pastor, being the other side. We want to be there.
Well, hey, whether you are a missionary on the ground at a different country or maybe different culture, or maybe you're just doing what God's called you to do in the city that you grew up in and you're very familiar with the culture. I think we all have a part to play when it comes to cross-cultural missions, whether we're sending, whether we're going. We are doing this thing together, and it's really important because it's a hard work. We want to see the gospel go forth to the nations, everywhere we go, making disciples, and that multiply. And missions work is a part of that. You know, at our church, we save 10% of our tithes and offerings to support missions and church planting and get the gospel to go forth with power and with finances and fruitful ministry to get people saved. He who wins souls is wise, and we want to walk in wisdom in these last days. And so I hope that this was an encouraging episode for you. I know that it's hard. And so next episode, episode 14, I'm actually going to talk about caring for your own soul, because at sometimes we can do so much work that we forget to work on ourselves and have ministry as an overflow of our heart. So I got Brian Brookins with a leadership lesson. I got a couple more interviews, some one piece of advice, and the importance of just taking care of our soul, finding those rhythms of rest, and even being able to just have ministry flow from the overflow of our hearts. And so I pray for you that God would bless you, that for the Holy Spirit will come upon you to empower you to do the work that He's called you to. And no matter what you have in your hand, may you do it all for the glory of the Lord. Man, thank you so much for just listening, for watching, for making sure that you are a part of this community and subscribing. It is a privilege. It is an honor. And that was episode 13, Cross-Cultural Missions. We will catch you on the next episode.